I've got an extra bit of technology that they've given me this morning for the first time, so if it goes wrong, apologies. I have a habit of pressing buttons if it doesn't work, in the hope that it will work at some point, so as Chris will echo. So it's really good that we're able to come and worship, and this morning we're going to be continuing our theme of Christian disciplines, and our theme this week is listening to God and guidance. Listening sounds like it's an easy thing to do, but I wonder whether we really find that to be true in our own daily lives. How many times have you had a conversation with somebody, maybe even over breakfast this morning, and when you finish that conversation, you can't actually remember much of the details about or what has been said? And I wonder if that's because we're actually not as good at listening as we think we are. And when we think about listening to God, that's something that we need to continually foster. It needs to be intentional upon our part, which involves seeking, recognizing, and responding to God's voice and what he's saying to us and how he's guiding us. And to do that, we need to develop that desire to give time to our relationship with God, just as the same as we give time to develop relationships with other people, and we commit time to that. And the way we foster our relationship with God is through prayer, through scripture, through silence, through meditation, as Jackie spoke about last week. But it also requires patience as well, and a willingness to be shaped by God's word and his presence. You may see a pattern developing in our themes over the last few weeks. Whilst being individual subjects, they're all interlinked. I remember Jackie saying to me before her talk last week, I'm going to apologise first because I'm going to reference your upcoming talk and a lot of the others as well, because they're all intertwined, and primarily because they're all important to concentrate and focus on. From a preaching point of view, not very easy to prepare because there's so much to think about. So I want to think about, how does God guide us? God can guide us. God can guide us through many different ways. And this morning we're going to think about some of those different ways that God can guide us. But what's clear throughout all of them is we need to be open to listen and to receive his guidance. So often, I think, and probably to a greater or lesser degree, we all have ideas and thoughts about where we want our lives to be heading, what we want to be doing later this year, what we want to be doing next year, or maybe even in 5 years' time. But are we willing to have God step into our lives and ask us or encourage us to change direction? And this can be through a variety of ways. In the Bible, there are clear examples of people who were guided directly through the Holy Spirit. Let's just look at a few of those people. Firstly, there was Mary. Mary was a young girl, probably in her mid-teens. She was engaged and about to embark upon a life with Joseph. And then the angel of the Lord visits her and tells her that she's highly favoured and she's been chosen by God to give birth to his son. She was obviously very confused as to how this would be possible, but she was willing to be used by God, to be guided by God. And her words were this: "Let it happen to me as you have said." And the direction of Mary's life changed forever. And the direction of the world's history was changed because of her willingness to be used by God. Let's look at another one. Moses. Moses had run away from Egypt because he'd murdered another Egyptian who'd mistreated one of the Israelite people. His life had already been modelled and directed by God as a baby, but he was forced to run away for fear of his life. And he'd settled into a life with his wife, Zipporah, and was in the wilderness tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro. And God gets Moses' attention in the form of a burning bush that was not consumed. And I wonder, are there times when God does things to get our attention? And I wonder also if we're actually attuned to recognise those times, and do we respond to them? God speaks to Moses through the burning bush, and he says this: "The Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." So God speaks to Moses and sends him back to the place where he's run away from, the place where he least wants to be, but God's giving him the job to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And after much discussion and bartering with God, Moses accepts that call that God has placed on his life. And he goes to Egypt and eventually brings the people of Israel out of Egypt. God continues to both use and guide Moses through his almost 40 years in the wilderness. One picture of this guidance was seen in the picture of a pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. God guided the people of Israel through that. Maybe you can see a pattern that's forming here. God seems to choose the most unlikely people in the Bible to do his work. And I think actually that's great news, because it lets us know that God can use us as well. We've also got another different person that God chose and guided, because he too was willing to listen to God. Gideon. How many people know much about Gideon? Gideon was not a powerful man. He belonged to the tribe of Manasseh, which was one of the smaller tribes in Israel. He was not an important or an influential man in his clan or in his family, but God chose to come to him. And despite him being not a powerful man, he called him a mighty warrior. And what was more, Gideon appeared to be very low in spirit. He felt like God had forsaken Israel. And he asked if God was with them, and why had they been subjected to the rule of the Midianites for the last 7 years. And the angel says to Gideon, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" We see clearly from this story that when God calls, he equips. Gideon was the least person in his family, and yet he was the person that cut down the altar to Baal and the Asherah pole, and then defeated the Midianites, who were thousands in number, and he did that with just 300 men, because he trusted God. On his own, Gideon couldn't achieve anything, but with God, he achieved a miraculous victory. And then the final one I want to mention is Saul. Saul, who became Paul. He had a life-changing encounter with God on the road to Damascus, which changed the direction of his life. He was the persecutor of the church, seeking out, catching and imprisoning Christians and putting to death Christians, but God changed his life from being a persecutor to a proclaimer of the good news. All these people recognized the voice of God when he spoke to them. When we get to know somebody, we recognize their voice, even if we don't see them. And as we get to know God, we get to know his voice, and we recognize that it's God that's speaking to us. Jesus used very many pictures when he talked about that relationship. And one of the pictures is the shepherd and the sheep. And he said these words, "My sheep hear my voice." The sheep knew when the shepherd called them, and they followed him. So as Christians, we need to get to know God more and more so that we can recognize him, but also listen to him and respond to him. So sometimes he, just like he did with Saul, he'll direct us to change direction altogether. So God may not necessarily call us to that kind of life, but what is God calling us to, is God calling us to change, to a change of direction? When I was in my early 20s, and before anyone says it was a long time ago, I'd trained as a nurse. I'd moved from Yorkshire to the southwest, and I was working in a job I actually enjoyed. And then suddenly, I felt that God was calling me to go to Bible college to train for something that I didn't have any idea what I was going to be. I must admit, I put up a little bit of a fight, a lot of discussion with people around me. I'd been brought up in the country and small towns, but at the end of those 3 years that I did at Bible College, by the way, I'd told God I was only going for two, but he had other ideas, and in my third year, Chris came, and that changed my life altogether. But as I say, I'd been brought up in the country, and I ended up working in the East End of London as a community worker for three URC churches. You know, God has a real sense of humour. That was a total change of direction for me, which in some ways has done a full circle back as I'm back in nursing again, but yet I knew very clearly that God guided me to take that new step then. And we've subsequently known God to guide us in many different ways since. But the one thing I can always say is that God is so faithful when he calls, and he always equips us, but he also provides for us. So what are the other ways that God can guide us? So he can guide us through his word. Chris spoke a few weeks ago about the importance of reading the Bible, because that's the way we get to know God and how he speaks to us. Psalm 119, verses 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." I don't know what you're like in the dark. We have lights that come on in our drive when we walk near them, and it makes a huge difference to us instead of walking in the dark. And sometimes we might feel that we don't know where we should be going. We are, to a greater or lesser degree, walking around in the dark sometimes. But as we read and as we get to know God and his word, he can speak to us and he can shine a light into our situation and show us the way that he wants us to go. He guides us sometimes as we walk with him. Sometimes we actually have to start walking, and then he'll show us the next step. Psalm 23 is a very famous psalm, a psalm of David, which speaks of the Lord being our shepherd. In the middle of this psalm, it says these words, "He guides me in the paths of righteousness." He guides the believer, those that have accepted him, along a life aligned to his will and to his character. This path is not necessarily the easiest or the most comfortable path. It's the one that leads to spiritual growth, wholeness, and ultimately to a closer relationship with God. And it emphasizes God's active role in directing the believer's steps and his commitment to their well-being. Another verse here. I wonder whether there have been times, or maybe sometimes, we feel that we know better than God. And Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." God wants us to implicitly trust him in every area of our lives and not to try and work things out for ourselves. This passage was given to me many years ago, and I've come back to it so many times. But the one thing to be sure I can say is, without a shadow of doubt, is that God is trustworthy and he'll never ever let us down. And I'll share later an experience I had recently that shows we need to trust God to lead us. So the Bible was given to us as a guide for our lives. And it's through the Bible that we can see how God led people in history and how he was faithful to them. And it shows us how we can trust him and how he wants to lead us. So how else can God guide us? He can guide us through wise counsel. God will often bless us. God's blessed us with many people in this fellowship that are very wise counsel to us, and we need to appreciate them. But he'll bless us by putting certain people in our lives that we can go to, who'll not only listen, but will also pray for us and with us, and ask God for the things that we need to hear about. There's a couple that I got to know when I moved to the Southwest. They were a couple called Sid and Shirley, and they became a bit like my proxy parents. And they were people who were very close to Jesus, and I knew that they would pray with me and for me. And often, if I rang them up, one of the first things that Shirley would say to me is, "What do I need to get on my knees for?" And that was her first comment. She was a great supporter, but she was very close to God, and she wanted to hear God for us, and for me, and later for Chris as well. But they also weren't scared to tell me if they thought I'd got something wrong as well. I'm sure there are people here in this fellowship that you can trust to give you wise counsel. There are people here that I can trust implicitly and that are faithful to God in that role. So God speaks to us through wise counsel. He can also speak to us through prayer and silence. I spoke on prayer a few weeks ago, and one of the things I focused upon was being quiet and listening and allowing God to speak. And Jackie last week spoke on meditation, and part of that was again being quiet before God. Sometimes when we give time or commit ourselves to spending time in prayer and quiet, it's then that God can speak to us. It might not be a physical voice that you hear, but it might be an impression about something, a passage of scripture that God wants you to reflect on for a particular reason. Jackie had mentioned something similar to me that she'd read in Lectio 365 readings. I think it was back in April. It said this: that we should notice if there's something when we're being quiet, when we're in prayer, that something, whether something's stirring us as we read or as we're quiet before the Lord. And then we should ask the question, is this you, Lord? Is this you wanting to speak to us? And I think God will speak to us as we give him time. And then the final area that I thought about, God can speak to us through circumstances as well that we're facing that lead us into a place that he's designed us to be. I mentioned earlier that I was going to share something. A couple of years ago, I was working in a GP surgery in East Molesey, and it felt very much like God had opened that job up for me, the right days, the right hours, and the way it was described as a place that would, where I would be supported to grow and develop my career. What I discovered when I got there was that it was the most unsupportive environment that I'd probably ever worked in. There were often no GPs in the building, even though it was a GP surgery, and I actually felt very isolated. I would build up to go into work the weekend before, and more often than not, be upset when I came home. And I got to the stage where I thought, actually, I need to leave for my own well-being. But underneath all that, I thought, if I leave, how are we going to actually manage financially? I spoke to the agency who'd found the job for me, and they said they had another opportunity, in their words, just go for a chat, and it's only tying up loose ends. So I went, and it was one of the worst interviews I've ever had in all my working life. I felt like I'd been torn to shreds and came back totally and utterly disillusioned, and still with the thought that, what are we going to actually do? But at the same time, I'd received an email from Leatherhead Primary Care Network to ask me whether I was interested in working for them. I didn't have a clue where they'd got my name from. I didn't know them from anybody. But I did discover eventually that it'd come from a place that I'd worked at 2 years earlier, who'd given my details, probably against the rules. But they offered me an interview online, and then they offered me a job. My old contract was due to finish on January the 7th, 2024, and my new contract started on January the 8th, 2024. God's timing is absolutely perfect, and while any job can be challenging, I can honestly say that I've never worked in a more supportive environment. Because God is good. God worked all that out. So in conclusion, guidance and hearing from God can be a difficult challenge at times, but the Bible's clear that God wants to lead and guide us. He wants us to listen to him and to hear his voice. There's a passage that came to me as I was finishing preparing this talk, and it says in Isaiah 20, verse 21, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. If you're struggling to know what is the next step for your life, then ask God. He longs to speak to you. He longs to guide you to where he's already planned for you to go. So let's just pray. Father, thank you that you want to lead us and you want to guide us. Thank you that you speak to us in a variety of different ways. Father, I pray that you'll give us ears that are open to hear what you have to say, and that we'll have hearts that are open to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.